Welcome to the MMA Road Show, episode number 398. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is not with me physically, not presently, but he's going to be with us all, if you know what I'm saying. And not in a weird way. No, I'm just saying he's agreed to do a little segment later on. In fact, I believe he is chilling with our man Oscar Willis, Hot Tea himself from the Mac Life up in New York for UFC 281. Because, of course, that is what everyone is excited about. It's the big pay-per-view event, the blockbuster UFC 281 with the grudge match in the main event. And look, I will be there too, but I will not be there until fight night. This is a crazy, crazy, crazy week for me. If you're a listener to the show, then you kind of know a little bit about what's going on. But I'm excited about it. I'm right in the middle of it. I am joining you from Tampa, Florida. And I may have already gone out and enjoyed a little bit of the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel at Casino Tampa. Maybe had a couple of old fashions. Maybe a martini or two. Who's counting? You know what I mean? You're touring the property. You're just getting ready. It's a site visit for your broadcast tomorrow, CFFC 114. But I am in Tampa, Florida. Made my way here today, and I have an absolutely insane week. But I'm loving it. I'm torn right now, right? Because this is the exact kind of week that I wanted to have when if I'm just being honest, when I decided to leave MMA Junkie. Because I wanted to have opportunities like this where I could come broadcast an MMA event on Thursday night and then do a historical broadcast on Friday at Fort Bragg, the first NCAA wrestling meet on UFC Fight Pass, and I get to be a part of that broadcast. Cannot wait for that. Campbell University, University of North Carolina, University of Michigan. I mean, I'm so excited for that. And legit, history. I mean, it's the first time it's being. And man, if you're a wrestling fan, if you're somebody that follows the sport of collegiate wrestling, you understand this could be something really cool. It's just a one-off for now, but you never know what's going to happen. And I think that would be really exciting. And I'm honored that I get to be part of it. And then that still doesn't preclude me from being a part of UFC 281 because I'm going to fly up to New York on Saturday for UFC 281, and I'll be cage side in Madison Square Garden for that incredible event. So I'm excited about this, and I am going to preview a little bit of those shows because I want to tell you about them. They are the ones that will be before UFC 281. But listen, I flew to Tampa today. I did Vegas to Dallas, Dallas to Tampa, and I got into my hotel room just in time to watch the press conference. And I did miss being there a little bit. I did miss being there a little bit, man. As much as I'm excited about these new opportunities and a chance to do something new, you know, I mean, a chance to do these broadcasting opportunities that I didn't always have available to me, I still miss being there on fight weeks. And look, I'm not trying to miss fight weeks, but seeing Madison Square Garden, seeing that show, seeing that New York crowd, that's something special. I mean, people ask all the time, what's the craziest crowd? What's the craziest event? Actually, what people normally ask is, what's the craziest event you've ever been to? And I think what they mean is they're asking about the fights. They want to know what's the craziest fight you've ever been to. And I mean, fortunately, I've been a lot of them. But what always sticks out to me about the fights is not just the action in the center, but it's the feel of everything around it, right? It's that the emotion, the energy, the electricity, everything that happens around it. And there's just something special about New York City events, man. There really is. And I cannot wait to get there on Saturday. I cannot wait to be a part of it. And today, as I was watching the press conference, I was missing it a little bit. I was like, damn, I wish I was there. It was just so bittersweet. Have you ever wanted to be in two places at the same time? Like, you're so happy you are where you are, but you also wish you could be somewhere else at the same time. And, man, that's kind of how I felt. So, good press conference. We'll talk about UFC 281 because there's a lot to talk about, and I am excited that we'll get to watch the fights play out on Saturday night. Let me knock on wood just a little bit. Long-time listeners will know I did have to miss a pay-per-view earlier this year in Dallas, my hometown of all places, because of some travel delays. I'm not going to give that any energy whatsoever. All right, listen. Just real quick, before we get to Cold Coffee and Hot Tea in New York, because that's who you really want to hear from, right? It's the MMA Roadshow. They're the ones that are on the road but actually in the place. I'm on the road doing something different. But I did want to preview what we got going on. CFFC 114 Thursday night. So I know a lot of you will listen to this on Thursday morning. So Thursday night on UFC Fight Pass, if you have an opportunity to tune in, please do so. Blake Smith in the main event, Tampa's own, the lightweight champ fighting against Kenley St. Louis, who, unbeaten since dropping to 155 pounds, who unfortunately, though, I will break a little news here for anybody that didn't see, did miss weight. So our main event at CFFC 114 has been changed to a non-title fight. Which, I don't know, kind of an interesting choice on both parties involved. I mean, if you're Blake Smith, you made weight. You're the champ. If you want to get another defense of your belt, go ahead and get another defense of your belt. So I guess we'll talk about that, maybe the psychology of that tomorrow night, why you're willing to go ahead and make the change to the 3 5-minute rounds. I mean, I guess it's easier for you. If you're the champ already, you know, it's not like you need to prove anything. You know who you are. You know where you're at. If you get a win, it's not an official title defense, but you understand what it represents, and Blake Smith is a guy that feels he's ready for the next level. Now, meanwhile, Kenley St. Louis, somebody that thought he was ready to prove he was ready for the next level, had suffered some early losses, but had changed to 155 pounds, and then did, you know, battle his way up with several straight victories. Missing weight here, though, that's a bummer. That's a bummer, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. By the way, and I'll just say it here to you guys as well, I think as I sit here right now, CM Punk is supposed to be boarding his plane from LA. I think he's taking a red eye in. So I believe sans any last minute issues, any late schedule changes, which do happen sometimes with CM Punk, because my man is busy as hell, gets a lot of calls, a lot of opportunities. I believe he will be back in the broadcast booth Thursday night, UFC Fight Pass. It's been a while since I got to see my guy, so I'm excited to work with CM Punk again. You know, barring any changes, I'm going to knock on wood once again. I'm not going to wait here. Right there, knocking on wood. Blake Smith, by the way, amazing story, man. I mean, obviously this guy's, you know, a great fighter, and he's had some great wins. Kind of been an underdog his whole time in CFFC, but earlier this year in April, after his last fight, got involved in it's weird to call it near fatal, because he walked away with no scratches, but he was driving down the highway. Somebody cut him off in a stolen car, no less. Cut him off in a stolen car. He swerved to get out of the way, and when he swerved, he lost control of the vehicle a little bit, hit the median, it flipped over, flipped all the way over into the other side, and he was upside down. So it's six lanes, three lanes each way, highway, and he's upside down, sliding on top of his vehicle, and he looks up and he sees out the front mirror, and there's an 18-wheeler just driving straight at him, barreling into him. And 18-wheeler slams on its brakes, slides out of the way as well, and misses him. I mean, just barely misses him. And as he describes it, man, like he was able to climb out of the car, and he said it was just like a movie. You know, there's like smoke coming up everywhere, and just wild. I mean, just, you know, as he said, you know, realize it's weird, because is it a near fatal accident if you weren't actually hit? And I guess technically by the definition of it, no, but yeah, I mean, you saw your life flash before your eyes. You're upside down in a vehicle, and you see an 18-wheeler barreling at you. Yeah, that's near fatal to me as far as I'm concerned. And he said, man, it just really changed his perspective on a lot of things in life. And, you know, not that that necessarily changes anything about a fight, but it does. I mean, this thing is so mental. This thing is so psychological. This thing is so outside of just physical. And hell, that all plays into what we're talking about this weekend at UFC 281 as well. But anyway, just wanted to share that with you, because it's a crazy story for Blake Smith. And man, it was cool to see the run that Kenley St. Louis is on. And I'm not saying that Kenley St. Louis can't come in and win here, but missing weight really does put a bummer on that, you know, especially when you've competed at a higher weight class, you drop down to a lower weight class, you're undefeated in that lower weight class. This is the spot that you're on. This is where you're killing it. And then you miss weight, and it kind of changes everything, right? So a little bit of a damper there on our main event, but it's going to be a packed house here in Tampa tomorrow night, Thursday night. So looking forward to that. Co-main event's actually pretty cool as well. So kind of wild. We got a vacant flyweight title. If you'll remember, Pumi Nakuda was our flyweight champ, had a bad injury. He had to step aside. We had an interim flyweight title fight as well. Our interim flyweight champ won and was a veteran of the game and decided that he was done too. Decided that, man, his days were over and he was ready to walk away. And that interim title fight was going to be kind of the end of his career. You know, thought he was going to make one more run to the top. Decided to stop at CFFC. Had the belt in hand. So now we've got a vacant belt. But this is really cool, man. We've got Makoto Takahashi from Japan, Diego Paiva from Brazil. So we've got an all-international affair in our co-main event for the vacant flyweight title. Pretty cool. You know what I mean? This is a promotion, you know, that started in the Northeast. It was a regional organization, and now we're bringing in. And listen, these are not fighters that just happen to live in Florida. They're from Japan and Brazil. Like, these are fighters that were actually brought in, you know? So I'm just so excited to see where CFFC is going and so happy to be a part of it. And that's our co-main event as well. So looking forward to that. So tune into that. CFFC 114 Thursday night. I think I enjoy it. Mark Gray, by the way, another name to watch for on the main card. A dude that is an absolute stud wrestler. Undefeated as an amateur, undefeated as a pro. And we'll see if he can take another step forward. But like I said, I believe my man CM Punk is going to be back in the broadcast booth. So I'm looking forward to working alongside him. Have had some great feelings, man. Andre Petrosky, Dean Thomas, Joe Pfeiffer. I mean, how lucky am I to work alongside guys like that? But hey, CM Punk's my man, and so I'm excited to have him back. But then this is crazy, and I'm knocking on wood again. I'm knocking on wood again because there is, I believe, kind of a tropical storm, potentially hurricane, kind of coming into the area, making its presence known. And we have to fly on Friday morning from Tampa, Florida, to North Carolina. We're going to fly into the Raleigh-Durham Airport, and then we get a transportation over to Fort Bragg, which I'm pretty excited about. I know Cole Coffey is pretty excited about as well. His family actually used to work on Fort Bragg. So he's a staunch supporter of the military. But this is such a cool event. It's history in the making. It's called the Battle at Bragg. Campbell University, University of North Carolina, Michigan University, University of Michigan. Sorry, I apologize if I offended anybody. Sorry. The Wolverines. The runners-up from last year. You know, I mean, we're talking about some absolute studs in the game. For the first collegiate wrestling duel match on UFC Fight Pass, and I'm pumped for this, and I'm so honored they get to be a part of it. Rob Hadak, who is the CEO of Cage Fury Fighting Championship, and by proxy, Fury Professional Grappling as well, as much as he loves MMA, as much as he loves submission grappling, at the end of the day, wrestling is his first love. And so he is so excited about this. I know he's so pumped up about the opportunity to do this event. And I hope we're going to crush it. I do. I hope we're going to crush it. You know, we're all, it's the first one on Fight Pass. So of course it's our first one as well. So we're all a little bit nervous. We want to nail it. The people here, the team that we have here, it's a bunch of highly dedicated professionals that care about what the hell they're doing. And, we all want to do it right. We all want to do it right. And we all want to do it justice, including me, who, you know, it'll be my first wrestling meet to broadcast. Not the first one I've ever watched by any stretch, but the first one I've ever been a part of broadcasting. But I'm excited about that because I think, you know, my strategy, I've been paired with an absolute wrestling expert. I think you guys are going to be excited to meet him. A former Olympian. So we're talking about somebody that knows things at the highest level. I think what I'm going to do is just kind of try to play it from the perspective of somebody that's never watched it before. What is this? What is that? Explain this to me. Tell me that. You know what I mean? We kind of tried to walk into the same thing with Fury Professional Grappling as well, and I hope we did it right. I hope we've done it justice, where we want people to be able to tune in for the first time that are MMA fans that haven't actually watched, you know, that particular discipline and be able to pick up on it. And so, that's kind of going to be my strategy for Friday night. And hopefully I can do it justice. I mean, look, Veterans Day, and we're broadcasting an event on a military base and its history with collegiate wrestling. And to me, what I honestly think is the minor leagues, man. I mean, obviously right now, everybody's excited about Bo Nickel, right? Like, that's who everybody's talking about. And understandably so. Bo Nickel was an insane level. But this base to work from, and I think once you really watch it in its purest form, you'll see it right away. If you haven't watched it before, you will see it right away and go like, oh my God. Like the athleticism, the grappling ability, the determination, the familiarity with one-on-one competition. I mean, all these things. I believe you're going to watch it and you're going to go, oh, yeah, all these dudes can make it. I mean, maybe not at the highest level, but I really do believe when you look at like an NCAA final or something like that, I mean, you look at the highest level, you go, dude, every one of these guys is a legit prospect. So I'm so fired up to do this. And, yeah, like I said, well, knock on wood, once again, there's no weather issues. Nothing impacts our travel in getting there from Florida to North Carolina. But also, you know, I'll just hope that that I do it justice as well, because I'm excited about it. But I am definitely not the expert as some others will be, because it's not what I watch week in and week out. And but hopefully I can approach it from that perspective, and it'll work out. And I know that the team here at CFFC, if you're grabbing, man, I know they're going to put together a beautiful van. And again, it's on a military base. I've heard something. Obviously, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard that, you know, there's going to be some cool little presentations, you know, that's going to be on the military base. So, you know, we'll make it clear that it's on a military base, not just you're tuning in and it looks like we're in just some random hall somewhere or whatever. So, anyway, I'm excited about it, man. This is a crazy week for me. Like I said, I guess three cities, three events in three different days, but I love it. This is literally what I was hoping for, what I wanted my career to look like, and unfortunately, there were some people that did not believe my career should look this way, and it forced some changes, but you know, as scary as it is to walk away from something, I think when things like this start coming together, you realize, okay, I was right to believe in myself, and I was right to believe that this was a reality for me. And I'm not trying to sit here as some motivational figure, because I still got a long way to go, man. I got a lot of things to do and a long way to go. But, you know, walking away from something I did for 15 years was scary earlier this year. But then I get to have a week like this, which is what I always hoped I'd have. And, man, it just makes you go, yeah, you know what? Take that chance. Believe in yourself. These things will come together somehow. You may not vision it, but it will happen. So anyway, thank you for everybody for listening to me talk about myself. I know what you really want to hear about is UFC 281. I want to talk about UFC 281 as well, because there are some phenomenal fights on this, and I can't wait to be there on Saturday. Like I said, I'm torn. I wish I was there for the press conference today, for media day today, for the weigh-ins coming up. I will be there for the fights. That said, cold coffee and hot tea got put through the damn ringer today. I saw the schedule that came out for New York City, and I believe it was 20 fighters at media day, and then they had to come back and do a press conference like an hour later and talk to mostly the same people. I love this job. I'm so blessed to do what I do. But that is a long-ass day. And so cold coffee and hot tea deserve all the kudos in the world, because after that, they had agreed going into the week, before the schedule ever came out, they had agreed that they would talk to us and give us a little update on what was going on scene, since I couldn't be there. And then they saw the schedule, and I think they all got a little bit scared. But despite what they went through, they went ahead and are together anyway. So we'll throw it over to those boys up in New York, and we'll let them know that it's with the greatest of appreciation.
All right, and here we are on the ground in New York City, right smack dab in the middle of Manhattan. And with me is the one and only Rocky Balboa Oscar Willis.
You could have really hit it with a news reporter. Thanks, John. We're coming at you live from the Big Apple.
Yes.
But here we are. We're here in Manhattan, baby. Yeah. Big Apple, New York City.
Well, first of all, I got to give a shout out to Hot T, who came over here straight after the MMA gym. So here we are on the road in New York, here to cover the fight. But you're still 1 week out from a fight, man. You're still getting work in.
I can't wait for it to be over.
Yeah. Are you at the point where you're just done with it? No. And have you been at that for a while?
Yeah, no, it's just it's a commitment, and it's, yeah, it's like, I, to be honest, it has reached a stage where it's like natural now. Like, it's like, oh, I have to go work out. It's reached a level of discipline where I don't, yeah, I don't really think about it, but
it's become a routine. It's a habit now.
It's a routine, a habit, but it's like, I used to, you know, get prolifically drunk as a habit, and that was had a little less, like,
well, that's a good habit to have kicked a little bit.
I don't know how I feel, really. Just get this fucking thing over with. That's how I feel. Get this fight over with, and then we'll see if I continue or not.
Yeah, but how was the training tonight? What did you end up doing?
Body sparring, and there was a couple of women in there, so I got to hit a few.
Gotta get them real good.
That'll teach them. No, yeah, it was good. It was all right.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah, yeah. Get back it. No, anyway, no, it's yeah, it was fine. It was all right. It's, you know, it's punching each other in the body. After a while, I was like, my fucking arms hurt as well. Yeah. But it was decent enough.
Well, good shit. Well, we're here in town to see some other punch body taking place as well. And today was quite the day. The longest and largest media day that I can recall to date, being on site. 21 fighters, right? Or was it 22?
It was 22, which I actually...
was it 22?
It was 22, and I did check that it is an international war crime to do that to us.
Yeah. It felt like an international... I felt like I was waterboarded.
Yeah. It was, yeah. And listen, I want to make it clear that all these people say, oh, you have a dream job. And look, I'm not saying that their job is difficult or hard, but also, like, I'll go look at these views, ladies and gentlemen. And if less than 1,000 of you went and watched fucking Otman Azatar or something, that would be why we wouldn't necessarily have them.
That's why we wouldn't have him be there.
Not to single him out. That was just the first name that came to mind.
Well, I mean, they definitely went deep into the prelims for the New York guys and other stuff.
I actually think he got more than 1,000 views on MMA Junkie. So that was a terrible example. But anyway, go on.
But I mean, well, and that was because everybody wants to know what's in the sack, what's in the bag. But then he kind of had a lot of fun and, you know, and... you got a good little soundbite from him as well, you know, so that was good. But you're right. There were people that they clearly brought out there because they wanted to play towards the New York crowd. But us being the guys that have to do it day in, day out, we're just like, do we really need to see these people?
For the people who weren't in the room, Ken was loving it. Every time they asked what train they took to get in to work that day,
my,
Ken and Jose
To throw something. He's like, so what route do you take? He's like, oh, I just take the ILR. I was like, I will fucking kill you both right now.
I was less impressed with, I don't want to like absolutely like blast people. But
I'll go on. No, but go on. You're in fight camp. What are they going to do about it?
Your guy who was like, to Dustin, he was like, oh yeah, you know, I used to know that guy. And then it's like, okay. Oh, yes. Like, yeah, he said nice things about you. Okay. So what are we here having a fucking podcast?
Yeah.
Like, ask questions.
That was the humble
brag. This is a Q&A format. Yeah. Don't make statements. But anyway.
He was like trying to name drop. And I don't really have a question. I just want to tell you, you know, thank you for what you've done.
Yeah, that actually happens a lot. That happens every so often. You get guys like every that. Every so often. Who just like kind of, there's an art to inserting yourself into the thing. And some of us are better at it than others.
Well, speaking of that, and you know, so media day was the typical media day stuff. I mean, was there any particular fighter, you know, that really stood out that gave you something that you were just like, whoa, I didn't expect that?
There's a couple of things that stood out to me today. I thought Dustin Poirier was very unhappy to be there.
I was going to say, I thought he felt flat.
I don't know if he flat. He looked pissed off to me. Like,
kind of pissed off,
like,
yeah.
Very like sort of, you know, and listen, weight cut. I actually thought he looked a little bit more... lighter than he usually does this time of the week, so maybe he's just ahead of his weight cut and we're getting him a little bit early, but he seemed very like standoffish, borderline standoffish. That stood out to me. I also get the sense that Israel is not here to have fun this week. You know, there are times where Israel is like lots of laughy and jokey and references and stuff. There's a little of that with the anime question today, but I've really noticed like Israel seems to be I believe it to be the case. War mode. He seems like very much like I'm here to, you know, my army's here. Yeah. I really got that after the face off at the presser. He was screaming at his teammates, "This belt stays fucking here." So that's pretty out of character for Israel. So those are the two things in terms of like energy that I took away from.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, I mean, that'll try and transition. I mean, I didn't want to go too much in the media day. If you guys want to see all the stuff, you could either go to this, you know. What's that site you work for again?
What?
That site, that website you work for, you know, that little green website. I mean, they got that green logo.
Well,
it's the Mac. You were award nominee. I don't know about them.
The Mac Life was also award nominee.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Could have been this year, but
could have been.
Just because we cover every event and get the most views doesn't apparently get you a nomination, does it?
Not a sore subject at all. Well, you know, so
corruption.
So besides like the media day, you know, if you guys want to do that, go to Oscar's site and check out the ones there. Or you can go to MMAJunkie.com or on our YouTube and you'll see all the interviews there. Well, actually just go to our YouTube because we didn't even put all the interviews onto the site. We just did the main ones.
Yeah, same.
It was just too many. It was just too much stuff. But I do want to, you know, jump on the press conference. So in a crazy odd stretch of things, we didn't have a media day and then go to sleep and then the next day have a press conference. We literally walked down the bottom of the hotel, hopped onto a bus. They shuttled us down the street and then we walked to the press conference. And lo and behold, we saw some of the same people.
10 of the same people.
10 of the exact same people staring at us there. You know, but then they had the crowd. So it was cool to see the crowd interaction. Well, first, what did you think of the crowd interaction with the fighters? And who do you think got the biggest pops today at the press conference?
Frank Yeager got the biggest pop by a decent
deservedly
amount.
So.
A decent amount, yeah. And then I think, you know, people like to sort of hate on Israel.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they criticize him, criticize his fans.
Yeah.
But it's undeniable that when he shows up to a city, yeah, they are happy to see him. You know, and that's because he's a big star, right? They're, yeah, happy that a big star is here. They're getting to see,
yeah,
him.
Yeah, if there was ever a question as to his star level, you're right. I mean,
yeah, he always gets a big pop, you, yeah, know? I thought that Frankie got a good one.
Yeah.
Mildly hilariously, Zhang got a great one. And Carla got absolutely shit on.
I was going to bring that up. It's so crazy. So, one, you have an American fighter that's currently holding the belt. Oh, and you have a Chinese fighter. And everybody was booing the American fighter and was cheering on the Chinese fighter.
To the point where Carla went, I'm going to keep this belt in the U.S. And they booed.
Boo. But like, what is going on here?
It's, I guarantee you, if like Al Jermaine was fighting someone from outside the U.S., it would be the same. Like some people... Yeah. They just don't like.
Just triggered by certain ones, yeah, for some reason.
Aljamain and Carla, they just they haven't seemed to get that.
Do you think it's? Well, I was going to say, do you think it was a fight style? But Aljo's fight style, he still has more bursts of energy, bursts of finishing some people. Whereas Carla, it's kind of, I don't want to call her a one trick pony, but it feels like a one trick pony a lot of her fights. Do you think it's the fight style that makes people, or is it something they've said?
I think for Aljamain, it's probably something he said.
There's a lot more on that side, yeah, with him. Carla, not so much.
I don't think you can criticize his fight style. Like, I like, yeah, Aljamain, you know, but Carla, I think it's a, like, first of all, her last fight was not great. And secondly, I think, you know, just there's a thing of momentum, yeah, where if someone is unpopular at the moment, when they go somewhere else, those people are going to be like, oh, well, they're unpopular at, yeah, the moment, and react in kind. You know, I think that's just what it is.
Do you think people are still carrying a grudge because they love Rose? And people are like, oh, how dare you?
Nah.
No.
But I bet if Rose were there today, she would get a big reaction because she's a
much
star,
better,
right?
You, yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what I mean. Like, some people just fall into these sort of categories and it's very, very hard to get out of that in the fans' mind.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an example. I mean, what Luke Rockhold was pretty much disliked until his last fight with Paulo, yeah, Costa, after the Izzy fight, everyone shit on him, and now everyone finds him really funny. You know, it's very, yeah, rare for those switches to happen, but
yeah, but his personality and the secret juice and then sort of just, yeah, going fully, yeah, all in and some of the
but
social media stuff
it, but before,
I agree.
So maybe Carla needs to come out and just be like, secret juice, I don't know. That, I mean,
and start posting
that would be
some random
that would be very funny,
but it's just so not Carla.
That's why it would be hilarious. She came up and be like, hi guys, I've got my secret juice and it's gonna, yeah, be great.
So she literally just pulls the whole Paulo,
yeah,
playbook out,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
mirrors.
That'd
it
be funny. That would get her a pop, I bet you. But yes, so in terms of reaction, those were the big takeaways for me.
That's so funny. Well, you know, all right, so speaking of that, you know, we had the different pops and the different people, you know, saying different things. And the last thing, but you know, before we toss it back over to John, was just the banter. We saw three different major fights going on there, two title fights, and then there was the, you know, the Chandler and Poirier fights. You know, Carla and Zhang Weiling, there was no heat. There was nothing really going between the two, but there was a lot of banter going on between Israel and Alex.
Israel
and Alex. And Michael and Dustin.
Yes.
You like that?
I do. That's good.
So between those two, I guess let's start with Izzy and Alex. What did you think of the banter between the two? And for me, I was a little surprised Alex sort of switched a little lever.
Yeah, that's weird.
You know, and he kind of went a lot harder. I don't know if he was just trying to really at that point say, all right, I think I'm in Izzy's head. I'm going to go a little bit harder and let's see what we can evoke from it. But I thought it was just really weird. And of course, Fabiano doing Fabiano the wonderful job as he's translating, he's in doing all these inflections. And I'm just like, whoa, like Alex really went hard, because you can't tell when you don't understand the language. But yeah. What do you think of the banter between the two, though?
I thought it was random and almost unprovoked, you know, because yeah. someone basically had asked Izzy or Dan. I actually felt bad for Dan because he was about to answer and then Alex interrupted. basically asked, you know, you've come here with an army, what's that like, sort of thing. And then Alex suddenly pipes up out of nowhere, you're in there on your own and stuff like that. And I thought Izzy actually was like, I don't speak Portuguese, which I thought was a bit dismissive, you know, because he usually enjoys that, the back and forth. But there was a little bit. There was more than I expected.
So you think that was a sign that he was in his head a little bit?
No, I think...
Or do you think that was just a play to the crowd? Maybe?
No, I think if you've been watching any of Israel's content that they've been putting out on his YouTube, a consistent theme that he's been saying so far is that I'm going to say less this week. The fight sold. I'm going to say less.
Play up. That's true.
And I think I just think he's not really in the place or mood for the ceremonial stuff. You know, I'm not going to come to the presser and put on a big spectacle. I'm not going to do a big spectacle in the face. He looks very, in fact, every time Alex almost tries to get one out, he just sort of rolls his eyes.
Yeah.
He rolled his eyes at the face off. I think he's just here to, from what it sounds like, and I obviously know a few of those guys pretty well. From what it sounds like, this camp was absolutely mental. Really, really, really hellacious camp.
I mean, you know something about that as a fighter like you.
What we put ourselves through is, it's tricky. To be there, and when you go through a camp that's hard as these guys, now I'll say this: theirs wasn't as long as mine.
That is 100%
you can cast your own aspersion.
The never-ending camp.
Oh my god! But it seems to me that they're just so ready to just get in there and fight now. So I think that's where Izzy's head's at.
So if you had to pick who won the banter between the two, did one of them stand out as for getting maybe a final word in, or was the lack of Izzy's involvement because there was nothing that warranted and that he just stayed the course? I mean, if you had to pick to say, oh, well, I think he had the better shots, he had the better whatever, was it Izzy?
I mean, it was fairly tame.
Yeah.
You're in there on your own. You're not going to be with anyone. And it's like, well, yes, I know.
I think that's what he said. Wasn't it? Pretty close to it.
Alex said, yo, you're not going to have it in there. It's like, yeah. But, I think neither one of them won. I don't think either one of them is going to go to bed tonight being like, damn, he got me with that zinger, you know? But I think they just both look very assured. Yeah. They both just look very confident. Israel perhaps a little bit more so to me, but he always does, right? So I wouldn't say either one of them won.
10-10 draw?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's move to the other people that were talking a little bit. Michael Chandler and Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
Who do you think... did either one of them seem out of character? I thought Michael seemed like he was selling his promos.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I still felt like Dustin, he got a little bit more animated than what he was at the presser or at the media day, but still kind of reserved.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to say that you give it to anyone but Michael, because Michael spoke for a long time and Dustin said four words, you know, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had that weird sort of fracas.
Yeah,
interaction where Dustin was pretty pissed off at Michael, but they seem cordial now.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think there's like a lot of heat there, really. You know, I think maybe part of that's because they know this is about to be a war.
Yeah,
we don't need the extracurriculars. But
well, speaking of heat, it was funny. Like somebody would try to toss out the hot sauce one, and it ended up being very complimentary.
Yeah, he's like, oh no, it was great hot sauce, Dustin. He's like, you got that out of the bin, didn't you? It was really great hot sauce. And congratulations, you're official hot sauce. It's like, okay. Guys, I'm here to see you talk shit.
I know, you're talking about sauces. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, so, it was an odd press, and I thought it might be, you know. In fact, the most heat that seemed to happen was during the Frankie-Chris Gutierrez face-off.
He was jawing away.
Yeah, why are you going to... It's a bit like when Jake fought Anderson. It's like, you're going to talk shit to Anderson? No, you can't.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you going to talk shit to Frankie Edgar?
Yeah. Weird. And it wasn't like Frankie walked up and was like, dude, for my last fight, I'm just going to smash your face.
Yeah.
You know,
the guy was clearly like saying some stuff. And I think Frankie was just a bit like, okay. seemed a bit strange.
But it was interesting. But I mean, all in all, I mean, it was a good, you know, as much as we were griping about wanting to go over there, after it was said and done, I felt like there were some good things said. There was good energy. Maybe it was just the fact of the crowd, just being around in the crowd. It kind of brought it up a little bit. But all in all, your thoughts on the time, your short time here in New York now, and what's your overall excitement for this card in general?
I think today was a bit of a slog, so I'm pretty tired. So my enthusiasm.
Is that a bad thing? A slog?
A slog.
Slog.
S-L-O-G.
Is that a bad thing?
It's not. You don't use that over here.
Not as much.
Slog is like a. You know, like a struggle, an effort.
Yeah.
It's like an effort. Like today was a bit of a,
like we say when you're like a drudge, like a drudge.
Yeah, basically it's a bit dry, yeah.
Yeah.
Slog. Today was a bit shit.
Yeah, that's better. I understand that one. But, I understand that one.
So I'm a bit tired right now, but I think come fight night itself, I will be buzzing for it.
I think so as well. So tomorrow, let's look, what do we have on the deck for tomorrow?
And it's another media day.
Another, oddly enough, it's not named UFC... whatever that pay-per-view is, Media Day, 282 Media Day.
It's only like two people.
It's more like Talent, UFC Talent Day with some fighters from 282 Day. So they're just calling it on the press schedule as UFC Media Day, not to be confused with the Media Day that we just had today.
So we got Jiří Glover, John Anik, Daniel Cormier, Volkanovski, Aljamain Sterling, Justin Gaethje, Holly Holm, Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
What's your overall excitement level for that? You excited? You excited for that?
I always enjoy DC.
DC always brings it. He finds a way to keep it.
Well, I just from a fan and pundit's point of view, I find he gives just great thoughts and analysis. Yeah. So I really enjoy talking to him. Justin Gaethje is an interesting one.
Gaethje, he's kind of been depending out. On what Gaethje you get, I think he's recently he's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think Volkanovski is obviously. I think Volkanovski's really come into his own.
He got a good pop today too when he walked into the arena to sit down. He got a nice little pop.
It's the thing when people accept that you're the best, they start treating you differently, you know. It's just that's where he's at. So
like when I walked into Media Day today, I felt like that a little bit from
the way we looked at you.
Yeah. I felt like I got it, so I totally understand
that. Yeah, you felt that?
I felt that a little bit. Yeah. I appreciate that you guys came.
I told the guys to try and keep it under wraps. I'm sad that they weren't able to.
It's tough. I get it. Well, shoot, I think before we pass on to John, is there anything else you want to, like, give your thoughts on this card, this event, any other things that are going on? Overall, final thoughts? Are people able to – how can people watch your fight?
Well, I definitely can't. You can watch it on a week tape delay.
Okay, so it's on a week tape delay. Did you figure out where it's going to be?
BN Sports.
BN Sports. So look on the BN Sports. That BEIN Sports.
Wait, how about you guys wait until – the episode after,
and then to see how it goes.
If I win, you can watch it.
Out of respect, I will allow that. I still, my vote is on you. I think I'm team.
Listen, I've decided if it's like a Gaethje Chandler esque war, I'm okay with that. Okay, you know,
I expect nothing less.
If it's like, you know, hey, a barn burner that I came up short in, but I look like a badass in, then okay, fine. I'll take that L, you know?
But if you go out Ben Askren, George Masvidal.
Fuck, dude, if he slept me in like a minute, I'd be pretty... I'd have to, you know, stab him in the parking lot or something to get my revenge, I think.
This is not premeditated if that actually happens.
Oh, yeah.
This, it's clearly something else.
Joke, humor.
Right. Joke, humor, satire. Okay. Free Kane. Kane's out.
Yeah, that's cool.
Good for Kane. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're going to toss it back over to John, but we're looking forward to this event. Should I get your picks before we pass it on? Who are you picking in the main event? Izzy and Alex Bahia.
Israel.
I went as well. Carla and Zhang Weili.
Zhang.
So did I.
Okay.
And then I'll let you go with Chandler and Poirier. Who'd you pick in that one?
That's a tough one, but I think Dustin.
I went Dustin as well. That was one of the ones I went back and forth. Actually, even for a while there, I was back on the fence between Alex and Izzy, and then I was just like, am I really? I don't want to be that guy that just buys into all this other hype. The way that Izzy's been fighting lately, and just like you said, his mindset, he looks good. And when they were squared up, I don't know why I was thinking Alex was much bigger than Izzy, but they were every bit eye to eye.
Yeah.
You know, so that's
I will say this. I'm going to put a negative. I'm going to try and jinx it so this doesn't happen. I don't necessarily know if this is going to be a barn burner either.
Yeah.
Because I
think... a lot of respect between the two.
Well, I think when you fight Israel, it seems to me that you make the decision to go at him and you get beaten like Kelvin, Rob, and Costa. or you freeze and try and play it safe, and then he beats you on the decision, and you sort of make your choice early. And I don't know if Alex is the sort of guy to just ruthlessly run at him.
Yeah.
So don't know if it could be that. We'll see. I mean, I don't know what it would do to Izzy's relationship with the fans if he had another like point win.
Yeah.
In the way he's had, but we'll see.
We shall see. All right, guys, we're going to toss it back to John, but stay tuned with us for the rest of the fight week coverage that's going to be coming out on MMA Junkie and that. Or you can go to any other Russian hacker site that has hacked and has copied his footage and is now out there as well, because everybody loves to steal Oscar's footage.
We're an international brand.
You are. You're everywhere, bro. Yeah, you're everywhere. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We're going to toss it back to John. So, John, take it away.
Personally, I recommend the Russian hacker site. I'm just kidding. Sorry, I couldn't resist myself. Sorry, I shouldn't do that. I'm gonna keep it classy. No, thank you, boys. I appreciate you doing that. Like I said, I know it's been a long day for you guys. So thank you so much for giving your insights on the ground. I believe you could hear a little bit of the fatigue in their voices and in their energy, but still bringing you the insight. And listen, I think it's a lot of good observations and a lot of things that I observed, albeit from afar. I'm still intrigued by this main event so much, and it's not necessarily the drama of it. I mean, I love good drama. You know what I mean? Of course we do. We all love, but you know, when it's translated drama, it's not so great. And let's be honest, Alex Bejeda is not the best trash talker of all time. I appreciate him embracing it to a degree. I like the fact that he came out, dressed up today and trying to live up to the Madison Square Garden and trying to get in the head a little bit. But let's be honest, at the end of the day, Alex Bejeda is not a trash talker. But what he is somebody that has two wins over Israel Adesanya. What he is somebody that has a knockout of Israel Adesanya. And I know Israel Adesanya likes to say, that I was winning that first fight. I hurt him in that first fight, and he's 100% right. But at the end of the day, the result is the result. And I think you see, as those guys mentioned, he's taking it serious. This is not – he's not coming in with the, Elsa lines and stuff like that. Like, he's taking it seriously. And, look, if I had an official pick, which I need to get back to an official picks. If I had an official pick, it would be Israel Adesanya because of his familiarity with performing at this stage, because of where he's evolved to since those losses 5 years ago. These are not the same two athletes. This is not the same sport. I believe that Israel Adesanya has evolved quite a lot since then, and I believe that he is made for this performance and in these positions now. Now, all that said, what does history tell me? What does data tell me? Data tells me Alex Bejeda has knocked out Israel Adesanya with the same punch he just knocked out his last contender with in Sean Strickland. So how can you totally dismiss it? And there's the idea, okay, this is a different sport, and certainly Israel Adesanya can grapple. And I do believe that if this turned into a pure grappling match, if they were going out and having a pure grappling match, I think Israel Adesanya wins it. If they're just going out, on a mat, touching hands, let's have a grappling match, I believe Israel Adesanya wins it. But I don't believe in an MMA fight he does. Like, that's not really what you're best at. When you start performing out of character, when you start doing something different, I don't think that plays to your strengths. So data tells me that Alex Bejeda should win this fight, but I feel like Israel Adesanya will. Now tell me, am I crazy? Because I don't know. I mean, that, especially you look at Alex Bejeda at some plus money, and you think, I got the guy that's 2-0 with a knockout at underdog price. I see where that would entice you, but on the flip side, you can say, whoa, I got potentially the greatest middleweight of all time at minus 165. Like, when am I ever going to see that again? I might never see that again. I don't know. I'm intrigued by this. And I guess there is a little bit of a concern maybe that this fight doesn't end up being complete fireworks, right? Because two guys with familiarity, Are they going to be hesitant in there? I don't think so. I really don't. Especially when you think, you know, their previous history was 3-minute rounds, so even that changes things a little bit. Big gloves definitely changes things a little bit. Alex Bejeda just doesn't seem like the patient, cool, chill-out type. I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be a fight. I think I'm going to be electrified by it. I think Israel Adesanya is taking this seriously. Like, I like, as I said, I miss that energy of being there and soaking it in person. Man, I really do feel like, you know, watching things on TV, watching the press conferences, watching the media days, it's helpful. But there's all these other little clues you pick up, especially when you've seen somebody multiple times. Like, maybe not the first time you see somebody. Like, when you're there on fight week and the first time you see somebody, you're not going to pick up that many clues. But when you've seen how they walk into a room, how the people around them are, what the – I mean, that stuff means a lot. And it may sound silly. Like, if you're just a hardcore gambling enthusiast, you're breaking down the X's and O's, I get why the intangibles may seem silly to you, but I'm telling you, as somebody that's been in this game for a long time, those intangibles mean everything in the sport. They really, really do. And I do miss that, not being able to get that feel from up close. From what I see from afar, I see an Israel Adesanya that looks dialed in, that's not trying to put on a show, that doesn't feel like he's carrying an event, that he needs to, you know. Now, that could all change. That could all change when it comes down to Saturday, right? Like, does Israel Adesanya show up 4 hours early to practice his Undertaker routine? I hope not. I really honestly hope not. I don't want to see that. I want to know that he's as dialed in on fight night as he is right now, or appears to be from afar. If he is, I think he wins this fight. I think he's the more well-rounded fighter. I think he's certainly familiar with this position, this moment. I mean, Alex Bejeda, it's weird read, right? Because he's a very quiet, reserved kind of person, right? Like, I mean, granted, he doesn't speak English, so he's got to go through a translator. But he just never seems, like, too excited by the moment, never too whatever. So it's kind of hard to get a read from him. It's kind of hard to get a read from him because he just seems flat all the time. So is he feeling nerves, or is he just that ice cold? Like, is he feeling nerves, but he's just not great at expressing it, or since he doesn't talk, we can't really know? Or is he just that ice cold, stony killer that feels nothing? I don't know. Again, second language, scary dude that I have no idea how he makes 185. It's hard for me to get a read on him. So I don't know, but the read I get on Adesanya from afar is that he looks like he's dialed in. It looks like he's ready to go. And I was leaning him coming into this despite the history, and I'm going to stay there after watching everything I did today. But you tell me Bejeda can't knock him out. We've already seen it. He can. Smaller gloves on him, he can. And it's crazy because I love the fact that this fight was made. You can, you know, we've talked about it before, but you could say that the matchmakers rushed Alex Bejeda to this position. Absolutely, they rushed him to this position. Now, he did beat Sean Strickland, so he deserves it. But I'm so thankful they did rush into this position because this fight, to me, is the most intriguing fight you can make at 185 pounds. And I'm pumped up for it. And Adesanya may go out there and school him. But Bejeda may knock him out. And I'm fired up for it. And I'm knocking on wood one more time. Hopefully I'll be there on Saturday night. It won't be an issue. Carla Esparza versus Zhang Weili. Listen, I think, well, first of all, let me just say, booing Carla Esparza? Come on. What are we doing up there? How are you going to boo Carla Esparza? I get it, man. I mean, I was talking about this with Jason Lederfine with CFFC earlier tonight. What the hell were they doing putting up that fight? That Carla Esparza, Rose Namajunas 2 for a free fight ahead of this. Like, what was the UFC thinking? Was that just some intern that just knows you're supposed to put up the last championship performance on YouTube and not actually? I would be curious to know what happened there, what the decision-making process was, because there's no way that it made sense to put that fight up on YouTube, and yet they did it. Listen, I do favor Zhang Weili here, and I don't mean that towards any disrespect to Carlos Esparza, because I love the fact that Carlos Esparza proves people wrong over and over and over and over and over again. I really do. But this is a tough one, man. I think Zhang Weili is such the real deal that I just favor Zhang Weili here. I just do. And I mean, that is no disrespect. And could Carlos Esparza make this dirty? Could she make it a grimy little wrestling match and slow things down? Maybe. Maybe. And she has a way of surprising people, man. She really, really does. But I think Zhang Weili is the favorite. By the way, I should say, I don't know why John Anik was handling the press conference today and not Dana White. Now, not that that's become abnormal. I mean, honestly, John Anik has been handling a lot more of the press conferences lately. But I don't know what Dana White's got going on. I did put in a request to speak with Dana. I flew today, so I did put in a request to speak with Dana yesterday, which is typically kind of his media day, and that just never got done. I don't know that he did the other media rounds. I was trying to enjoy the evening with my family before I took off, so I wasn't closely monitoring anything. But I didn't see a lot of media, so I think maybe he just didn't do his typical normal Tuesday media round. So I don't know if he had vacation or what was going on. But of course he is doing the Power Slap press conference on Friday, which I'll be tuned into. I know a lot of people are just ready to crucify the Power Slap League, and I get it. I get all the concerns, but I'll just be honest with you. The stuff that I've watched, both when it was on the silly regional stage, with my man out there. Well, I don't even know if I should give his name, because I don't know what he's doing. I can't remember if he's behind the scenes of that, but the one that you've seen out there that's in the United States, JT. I wasn't gonna say his name. I don't remember if he's like a public face of that or not, but he's an old friend, and I loved the stuff that he did with just kind of that random slap league out there in the country of Tennessee or whatever. It's crazy, and this stuff's crazy, and I get why people think it's dangerous, and I understand all that. I do. But MMA is dangerous, boxing is dangerous, kickboxing is dangerous. Like, this is the game we set up for. American football is dangerous. I think this is a grown-ass adults that understand what they're signing up for, and I do like the fact that everybody's being tested. Brain scans are being done. You know, MRIs are being, all this stuff is going to be tracked. So it's not being done recklessly, and it is being done recklessly overseas and other places. So I know a lot of you hate this. I'll be honest with you. I'm not in the same boat, man. I don't hate it. You know, do I believe it's the highest level of martial arts? No, but also remember when everybody looked at MMA and just tried to ban it. You know what I mean? It was like, hold on, man, this is something I love, and you're banning this. Like, I don't know. I don't necessarily think you need to protect people from themselves. Now, again, brain damage, it's a real thing. CTE is a real thing. But at least it's going to be monitored. At least it's going to be tracked. At least it's going to be monitored, and that I can appreciate. So. How big this thing will go, I don't know. You know, it's not going to be as big as mixed martial arts in the UFC by any stretch, but on the TikTok generation, the brief highlights, man, at that test event, I saw some social highlights. I mean, some moments that I was like I wanted to share them to people. I watched them happen live, and I was like, oh my God, I want people to see this. This is crazy. We'll see how that translates over. So anyway, just wanted to give that update. Come on, the fight that everybody cares about, Dustin Poirier versus Michael Chandler. That's the one that everybody's looking forward to the most. Is it fair to say you're looking for Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler more than Israel Adesanya versus Alex Vejeda? I haven't mentioned it on here, but I'll mention it. Cage Side with John Morgan, doing a new podcast with Grind City Media, which is actually a subsidiary of the Memphis Grizzlies, which is a pretty cool opportunity, man. A subsidiary of an NBA team. They've got their own media company. And Eric McMahon, who is actually the mascot for the Memphis Grizzlies and also a licensed MMA referee as well. He kind of reached out to me and approached me about doing it, and we're just a couple episodes into doing this and really just getting the distribution all set up. We've been doing it on YouTube, and we're trying to get to all the other platforms as well, but we've just been kind of feeling it out and having some fun with it. But anyway, I really enjoy working with him. Eric McMahon's another hardcore, passionate dude, and like I said, the mascot for the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, that's kind of cool. But anyway, he posed the question to me earlier this week, and I was like, man, I hadn't even thought about it. Like, are you looking forward to Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler more than Adesanya Pajeda? And I just told you how much I was looking forward to Adesanya Pajeda. So am I looking forward to Poirier and Chandler more? It seems wrong to say that, but kind of. Kind of. I mean, I think it's a weird way to look at it. But as I think about it more now, like, I'm more intrigued by Adesanya and Pajeda, right? Like, they have history together. Pajeda doesn't really, you know, doesn't really belong to be in a USC title fight right now. But because of his history, he does. So for that reason, I'm excited about it. But, I mean, with Poirier Chandler, like, we know what we're getting, right? We're getting a car crash. I mean, now Poirier said, we're getting a car crash. It's going to be insane. It's going to be absolutely insane. And I think I'm picking Poirier. But just barely. But, I mean, this is potential fight of the night, potential fight of the year. Two of the absolute most exciting dudes in the sport in Madison Square Garden. Pumped up for it. Pumped up as well. The Poirier's Louisiana hot sauce is the official hot sauce of the USC. I mean, come on. How cool is that? He's coming out with the, the maple this week? I can't remember. Chipotle maple? Is that what it is? Damn, I can't remember. I should have had that teed up. He's coming out with a third flavor. I will say the original sauce, get some. It's good. It's really, really good. Not that the KO sauce is bad. The KO sauce isn't bad at all. It's got a nice little kick to it, and it's good. But, you know, growing up in Texas, eating Louisiana hot sauce, you know, growing up with that as part of my diet, man, Poirier's is on point. And good for him to have a little marketing partnership, all that. Frankie Edgar, Chris Gutierrez, the last walk of Frankie Edgar. I mean, an underdog here, and understandably so. Chris Gutierrez, nasty, nasty leg kicks, you know. But maybe Frankie's got one left, you know. Maybe the old veteran in MSG, his last ride, maybe he's got something, you know. But, man, we throw legend out there too frequently, but this dude is a legend. I can't wait as he walks out of the cage for the last time to be able to be on press row and stand up and give him a standing ovation and, you know, maybe shake his hand, but make sure he understands that we all have reverence for him, because we do. And man, again, you know, this goes back to, like, we were talking about Anderson Silva, right? Like, there's probably a lot of people that don't have that reverence for Frankie Edgar. They don't know the history. But if you know the history, you know, man, this dude is I mean, the Gray Maynard fights alone. I mean, that's Hall of Fame alone. And then you put in everything else with it. I mean, just one of the absolute – and then just a hell of a dude. Just an absolute hell of a dude. So that's phenomenal. Dan Hooker, Claudio Pueyas in the card opener should be great. And then, bro, you start getting to the prelims. Brad Riddell, Renato Moicano, Dominic Reyes versus Ryan Spann, which Dominic Reyes training up there with the Glover Teixeira, Alex Pajeda camp. I mean, that could be some big changes for him. But then, of course, you know, Ryan Spann out of Fortis. I mean, that's a great one. Aaron Blanchfield, Molly McCann. A lot of people really, really high on Aaron Blanchfield, and I cannot disagree with that. I was a little surprised with the matchmaking here with Molly McCann, but Molly McCann can absolutely come out there and bang, and we'll see what happens. Andre Petroski, my broadcast partner there, Wellington Turman, tough matchup there as well. Another great grappling matchup. Andre Petroski believes he's the greatest grappler in the division. He'll get another chance to prove it. Matt Frivola versus Otman Izatar, who I saw they talked to him in media today, and they asked him again about the bag. I had talked to him earlier, and I get it. You know what the important thing, and it is actually important to remember, Because the whole thing is like, what was in the bag, what was in the bag. And it is funny. Like, what the hell's in the bag? Like, what was in the bag so much that you need to scale the outside of a hotel wall to get there? But it is funny when you remember the story. Like, he wasn't suspended because of the contents of the bag. He was suspended or initially terminated because they broke protocol to get whatever was in there. I don't know. It's still a weird thing that he won't talk about it. But he is right in the fact that, like, he wasn't suspended over what happened. Or he was suspended over what happened, not what was in the bag. But I don't know. That's just going to forever. It wasn't potatoes. I promise you that. It was not potatoes. And I said, no, wait, I can't promise you that because I don't actually know. But come on, dude. Ain't nobody scaling a wall of the bubble for potatoes. There's just no way. All right, listen. By the way, if you like what you listen to, do us a favor. If you like what you listen to from Tampa, if you like what you listen to from New York, do us a favor, please. Make sure you signed in. Make sure you rate us, review us, leave us some feedback. All that stuff really, really appreciates us. All that stuff really helps us out, and we appreciate it. Can you tell them on 3 hours of sleep? Yeah. And maybe had a few old fashions? Yeah. It's all kind of adding up now. If you want to take your step up to the next level, it really would help us out if you can support us at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. As little as $3 a month, you can sign up to help us out, support the show, help us with the costs that are involved, and you get exclusive access to the and a half episodes. And, of course, we have our little community over there where Cold Coffee is generally man in charge. But as I'm starting to reel things back in from my new adventure, I may have a little bit more time over there as well. And always looking forward to opportunities to interact with everybody, especially those that support us. We certainly appreciate that. I don't know how the and a half is going to happen this week. Maybe the and a half happens while I'm on a cab to the Newark airport. We'll see. My flight leaves at like 5:30 in the morning. I didn't even get a hotel room in New York. So flying Friday, knock on wood, to Fort Bragg, doing the wrestling meet, flying Saturday to New York at LaGuardia, heading to Madison Square Garden, and then heading out of Madison Square Garden and heading to Newark Liberty and flying through Chicago on the way home. So maybe it's done in the cab or in the – we might have a piece together. And a half. It might be worth signing up just to find out how the hell we pull this thing off because I don't know how we're going to do it. But I'm going to make it happen because you know I appreciate you all more than you ever know. And from the bottom of my heart, from Cold Coffee and from Hot Tea, thanks for listening.